Welcome to Impact AI, brought to you by Pixel Scientia Labs. I'm your host, Heather Couture. On this podcast, I interview innovators and entrepreneurs about building a mission-driven, machine learning-powered company. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to my newsletter to be notified about new episodes. Plus, follow the latest research in computer vision for people in planetary health. You can sign up at pixelscientia.com/newsletter. Today, I'm joined by guest Sean Cassidy, CEO and co-founder of Lucem Health, to talk about identifying chronic disease. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Heather. It's great to be with you today.
Sean, could you share a bit about your background and how that led you to create Lucem Health?
Yeah, I'm an old enterprise software guy. I've been doing this probably for longer than I care to admit. I came to healthcare kind of by happenstance in 2004. So I've been working in what we typically refer to as digital health for the last 20 years. The work that I've done in digital health has been in data integration, data management, analytics, and in latter days, more predictive analytics and AI. And so I got the opportunity basically through my network to have some conversations with Mayo Clinic back in late 2020, early 2021. And they were thinking about investing in a new idea, which we can get to. You know, again, purely by through some good luck, I suppose, got the opportunity to start the company with them.
Great. So what does Lucem Health do and why is this important for healthcare?
Yeah, so the founding idea for the company was fairly straightforward. There is a tremendous amount of research and development happening in AI and machine learning in healthcare, particularly in the clinical side of healthcare. We've had tools, AI-ish, machine learning-ish tools for the administrative side of healthcare for a while, revenue cycle management, supply chain management, scheduling, that kind of thing. But AI technology in the clinical realm is a little bit newer. The challenge that AI innovators have, particularly those that work or are affiliated with healthcare providers, is that they can do the research, they can access the data, but they can't get the power and potential of these technologies to the clinical workflow. That's always been difficult for innovators that operate either tangentially or directly within an academic context. So the idea behind Lucem Health, and I'm going to give you sort of a quick metaphor or analogy here in a second, then hopefully we'll make it real for the listeners, is that we help solve that bench to bedside problem. So we help AI innovators get their engines, so these very, very powerful algorithms, to clinical workflow. So we're car builders. And so we build a car around their engine. And that's the thing that actually delivers real value, both clinically and financially at the point of care.
And what role does machine learning play in this technology?
Well, it's at the very center of everything that we do. So again, if we're solving the bench to bedside problem for AI and machine learning, then these engines that we're dropping in the cars that we build are by definition machine learning algorithms. And so that's how we have optimized our technology infrastructure, is to support the specific and tangible needs of machine learning in the real world. So again, just to make that real for everyone, what do we mean by the car? You know, what does the engine need in order to be able to provide real world value? Well, we need to connect with the data infrastructure at a healthcare provider organization that wants to use these solutions. And data is different at every provider, even if everybody is on Epic, and increasingly these days, almost everybody is on Epic. We have to take that data and we have to optimize, curate it specifically for the needs of the AI models. They all operate the same way in the sense that they take input data and they produce some sort of output value. We have to be able to take the output value and interpret it so that it is human readable and human understandable. We have to orchestrate the execution of everything that I just described. And then crucially and most importantly, we have to figure out how to get those insights into clinical practice, into clinical workflow in a way that is accessible to users. So right time, right place, right context, right stakeholder. Now, that's all that we do with the car making facility. But ML, to come back to your question, is right at the center of all of our solutions.
So are you developing some of the ML solutions yourselves or just providing the infrastructure to make them possible?
That's a great question. So, you know, we are working with AI innovators, ML innovators. So we provide the capabilities that I've described to them. So we are not, at least today, doing data science, creating algorithms. There is a lot of very promising stuff out there. It just needs the car. You know, it's promising engines just needs a car or cars wrapped around it. That's the value that we provide to our partners and ultimately the value that we provide, hopefully, to the healthcare delivery system.
Let's talk a bit more about the data that makes all this possible. What does healthcare data look like?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a couple of ways to answer that question. It is increasingly voluminous. It is increasingly diverse in terms of its content. There are new data modalities being put online all the time. So there's more and more information flowing. But as I said before, it can be heterogeneous. It can be different from site to site. It can be dirty and unoptimized. And so a lot of times it requires, like I said, curation. It requires a little bit of sort of cleansing and cleanup in order to make it useful in the real world. We work with structured data from electronic medical record or EHR technologies like Epic, Cerner, and so on. We work with signals data like ECGs. We also work with image data, like the kind of thing you'd get from an MRI or an X-ray or a CT scan. So we work with a very broad sort of tableau of data, but we still have to go through the process to make sure that that data is fit for purpose in terms of the needs of the AI engine that's running at the center of everything that we do.
What would you say are the top one or two challenges in working with these different types of data and getting them in the right format and usable for machine learning?
I think it's having efficient, productive processes and technology that allow us to react to variability very quickly without incurring a whole lot of expense. One of our value propositions for our solutions is that they are simple and straightforward to implement at providers. We use standard integration techniques. So we use FHIR, for example, and HL7 and other standards. But we are going to encounter variability and difference. We're going to encounter, you know, individual values in individual fields that don't necessarily make sense for the needs of the AI engines that we're trying to orchestrate the execution of. And so we have built technology infrastructure to make it really simple for our teams to see and understand the variability and to either push back indications to the providers of the data, to the providers and their IT teams, or to handle the variability inherently within our solution, within our platform.
So one of the variables that changes is patient characteristics can change over time, but, you know, whether it's COVID hitting or, you know, some other external factor. It could be scanners, different manufacturers coming into a facility, different things like that. How do you support those changes so that the machine learning models can continue to perform well over time, or to flag changes so to indicate that the models might need to change?
Yeah, we have a, without getting too esoteric and detailed, Heather, you know, we have a particular deployment style that we use and a particular focus area for our solutions. We are focused on early disease detection almost exclusively. And so that is using AI and machine learning algorithms to, at a point in time, evaluate the risk that a patient may have a certain disease like diabetes or CKD or higher risk of stroke or cardiovascular disease. And so the longitudinal data about patients does matter at the point in time and is often an input into our solutions. Once we've identified the risk for a patient, we don't often go back and sort of rerun the algorithms against those patients because there's a downstream diagnostic process that occurs. Now, I suppose there is potential that time can pass and where a patient was not flagged being at risk for something, and say 2023, we get to 2024, and because of a change in their data, they may be at risk at that point. But again, we are evaluating the data as it exists at that point, rather than necessarily dealing with what the state change is between those two periods of time. Your question about drift is important. So when we think about the efficacy of our solutions and the efficacy of the underlying engines, the AI machine learning models, we are very careful to evaluate their efficacy, value, and impact across time and to be very aware when we're seeing some potential deterioration in performance. So we have some specific techniques which are proprietary that we use to do that. But the short and sweet answer to your question is that it's something that all of us who are in the business of delivering machine learning into a clinical setting need to be concerned with.
One of the key challenges with applying AI, probably for any application, but perhaps specifically medical, is making sure you're solving a relevant problem and deploying it in a way that's helpful. So are there ways that your team and the machine learning technologies you work with, are the ways that you help to be sure that it fits in with the clinical workflow and provide the right kind of assistance to doctors and patients?
Yeah, that's a great question. That is a particular obsession of ours. There is a school of thought, which is quite pervasive in the industry, that these new AI and machine learning generated insights should be served to clinicians via the EMR. And what clinicians tell us is they are highly fatigued by all the alerts that they're getting through their EMRs, all the emails that they're getting in their inboxes, many of which are just noise to them. And then the last thing they want is more flashing lights and more pop-ups and more things interrupting their ability to deliver care to patients. So we have taken a particular approach that actually allows doctors to continue to practice medicine the way they always have. And by surfacing risks of patients, rather than trying to go inside the exam room with them, what we can do is we can help prioritize patients who are at higher risk, and we can then have those patients come into the exam room. And as I said before, let clinicians practice medicine the way they already have. So when we think about the end-to-end value and efficacy of any solution, we take into account where does the rubber meet the road in terms of the workflow. I've been saying this quite a lot recently, and I'll say it again because your listeners might find it interesting. There are a tremendous number of really innovative ideas and algorithms that are out there that on the surface appear to be able to deliver an enormous amount of value and potential in terms of better care delivery, better diagnostic yield, and so on. Unfortunately, when we look at a lot of these technologies, we cannot figure out ways to get those insights cleanly and efficiently into the workflow, or we can't figure out economically how to show to a healthcare provider that deploying a solution with it at the center actually makes sense for them, both from a clinical perspective and from a financial perspective. So yes, workflow is really important, but there are also other considerations that matter in terms of, how do I put it, AI being more widely adopted in clinical settings in healthcare.
Thinking more broadly about what you're trying to accomplish at Lucem Health, how do you measure the impact of your technology?
So it's really, for us, it's quite straightforward. If you think about it, if the basic pattern that we're deploying is to try to surface risks that patients may or may not have or be at risk for a particular disease or condition, then by having an after-the-fact measurement infrastructure, which we do, we can evaluate what our research shows and what our published papers and other things show in other settings. We can evaluate the performance of the solutions in any particular site or any particular provider organization against those benchmarks. And if we find that there's differential, it could be that the solution needs to be tweaked. As I said before, it could be that the AI model needs to be tweaked, or it could be there's a process, cultural, or other issue at the provider. So another way to put it is that once we deploy our solutions, we're not done. We are always evaluating and trying to get a deep understanding of whether what we said was going to happen with respect to the performance of the solution is actually manifesting itself in the real world. And if it's not, we intervene, figure out why, and take steps to improve it.
Is there any advice you could offer to leaders of AI-powered startups?
Yeah, and I kind of alluded to it before, Heather. It is really important that you don't fall too in love with your data science, your algorithm, your technology. You don't fall in love with pure accuracy, pure area under the curve, you know, pure sort of, you know, typical measurements of the efficacy of an algorithm. you need to think about, you need to be focused on how does this actually get implemented in the real world? And can I figure out how to get somebody to pay for it? How can I show that there's enough clinical and economic value that I can capture hearts and minds? Let's say you're deploying at providers who are besieged with marketing materials and sales calls related to digital health solutions, are overwhelmed by the amount of hype that is being presented to them around AI, and quite honestly are just confused about where they should be focusing their time and attention. You have to be able to show something that is unique and differentiated and valuable. Otherwise, no one will hear you. This is going to sound a little self-serving and a little bit of a commercial, but that's what we do. We help our partners figure those things out so that they can see these tools they've invested so much passion, time, and energy in actually can get into clinical workflows and deliver good in the world.
And finally, where do you see the impact of Lucem Health in 3 to 5 years?
Well, we have a set of solutions in the market today that we're extremely proud of, and we're getting a very good and positive reception for. We are going to continue to launch more and more of these things. Our vision for the company is that we will be deploying a broad set of early disease detection and treatment acceleration solutions around virtually any high-cost, high-prevalence disease, everything from heart disease to cancers to diabetes and so on, and that we would ultimately have the ability to be able to take patient data that's commonly available, run them through a whole series of these tools and surface risks and deliver that information to providers in such a way that's really accessible so that they can deliver much more comprehensive and proactive care for their patients and improve their lives. So it's a fairly bold vision, but we feel like we're on a trajectory to be able to achieve it in something like 3 to 5 years.
This has been great, Sean. I appreciate your insights today. Where can people find out more about you online?
Please join us at lucemhealth.com. We're publishing a lot of material these days, blogs and white papers and other things that you might find interesting about the state of AI in healthcare, about early disease detection, you know, and about some of the challenges that we've talked about today. So come find us. And if you're interested in talking more, there's an usual info box there that you can click. We'll respond quickly and we'd love to speak with you.
Perfect. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Heather. Appreciate your time.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. I'm Heather Couture, and I hope you join me again next time for Impact AI.
Thank you for listening to Impact AI. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share with a friend. And if you'd like to learn more about computer vision applications for people and planetary health, you can sign up for my newsletter at pixelscientia.com/newsletter.